From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Florida led the country in the number of new HIV cases in January. The governor and state surgeon general were criticized for not taking the increase seriously. Shortly after, the Tampa Bay Times reported the Florida Department of Health adjusted those 2014 numbers, moving the state out of the lead spot. We'll explore this controversy in how the DOH adjusts HIV numbers. Plus, public health experts worry that when it comes to the millennial generation, many young people do not take HIV prevention as seriously as they should. The issue could stem from younger people today not having experienced the onset of the AIDS era in the 1980s or understanding its impact, particularly on the LGBT community. That's ahead on Gulf Coast Live. First, this news. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Topher Forges. Public health experts worry many young people do not take HIV prevention as seriously as they should. The issue could stem from younger generations not having experienced the onset of the AIDS era in the 1980s or understanding its impact, particularly on the LGBT community. We'll have more on that in the next half hour, but first, Florida led the country in the number of new HIV cases in January. The Herald Times Tallahassee Bureau wrote that the Governor Rick Scott and then State Surgeon General John Armstrong faced criticism for cutting staff and were accused of not taking the increase seriously. Shortly after, the Tampa Bay Times reported the Florida Department of Health adjusted those 2014 numbers, moving the state out of the lead spot. The move caused a stir. That article, called "Criticized for HIV Spike, Florida Takes Hundreds of Cases Off the Books," illustrates how the adjustment changes the narrative of HIV cases in Florida. The data now appears to show a slight decline in cases from 2011, when Scott was elected, to 2014. The Department of Health has said those changes are routine, and none of this was motivated by the controversy. We're joined by Tampa Bay Times health and medicine reporter Kathleen McRory. She wrote that article. Kathleen, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks for having me.
And we also invited representatives from the governor's office, the Florida Department of Health, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to join the conversation. All declined. But you can join our conversation. Call 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or tweet using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. So, Kathleen, we covered this a little bit at the top, but set the scene for us. When those numbers came out, the 2014 numbers, saying the state led the country in the number of HIV cases, what was the general reaction by local lawmakers to the governor and the Surgeon General?
Gosh, well, there was a big reaction, I think, both on the ground and in Tallahassee. I think the numbers confirmed to many folks on the ground what they had been experiencing, which was that they were seeing a pretty sharp uptick in new infections. And that really did echo in the halls of the Capitol as well. The then Surgeon General, Dr. John Armstrong, needed to be confirmed by the state Senate in order to keep his seat. He was a Rick Scott appointee. And some local lawmakers and you know, lawmakers from elsewhere in the state started to bring these numbers forward, and they really wanted to hold Dr. Armstrong accountable for them. They said, look, you know, we're seeing a tremendous uptick in the number of new infections. We're leading the nation in the number of new infections. What has the State Department of Health been doing? And there were a number of the senators who weren't happy with the response. They didn't think that the health department had done enough.
And also in the background, as these numbers were, you know, fluctuating, going upward, what was happening with the staff size at DOH?
Oh, exactly. You know, since Governor Scott came into office, we've seen some pretty dramatic cuts across all, you know, all of the agencies throughout state government. I mean, I think you could say that in part was motivated, you know, by the economic downturn, that there's still, you know, Florida wasn't generating the type of revenues it had in the past. But once we, you know, even started to see kind of a bump in revenue, some of these cuts were continuing. So, you know, the members of the Senate were saying, look, you know, we have this crisis on our hands. We could be seeing the start of what appears to be another epidemic. And yet we're continuing to slash jobs, and we're continuing to slash funding for health initiatives, public health initiatives that could help stem this.
And So the numbers come out. The Surgeon General has a hearing. What happened at the hearing?
The hearing kept getting postponed. The hearing, I don't know that it ever really took place. You know, the Surgeon General kind of had been battling some health issues on his own, so he often wasn't able to attend. But we saw the hearing get postponed and postponed and postponed, and to those of us watching, that was a sign that there just wasn't the support for the Surgeon General to be confirmed.
And so another way of putting that is he didn't get the job. He didn't get renewed.
No, he was not renewed. He was not able to keep that position. There was a possibility that at the very last minute of the session that the Senate president could have brought it to a floor vote. But Senate President Andy Gardner decided not to do that. So, in essence, Dr. Armstrong was forced to resign.
And a big rebuttal, as I understand it, I don't think there's been, I think I read from coverage by the Times that it was the first time in, you know, maybe two decades that an appointee hadn't been pushed through, a governor appointee.
Yes. And it was interesting because Dr. Armstrong was appointed by a Republican governor, and it was a Republican Senate that declined to confirm him. So, yes, that was very unusual.
And so, you know, the numbers were part of that. And let's get into the numbers. In terms of new HIV cases, what were they in January? And, you know, how many cases the state were they dealing with in January?
Right. This is one of those things that's kind of complicated. So what we were really looking at was the number of new infections logged in calendar year 2014. And that was the number that had kind of caused the stir. And when all of this was going on in January, you know, folks at the State Health Department were saying that there had been 6,147 new cases, new HIV infections logged in 2014. And that was enough for Florida to lead the nation.
And then what happened?
And then those numbers were adjusted. And it was done very quietly, which is odd because, you know, when things are kind of erupting at the state level, you know, over how high these numbers were, they were being adjusted. I found out about the adjustments because the Florida Health Department has a great website called Florida Charts, where they post just a ton of public health data. As a health reporter, it's something I'm constantly scanning. And I had pulled the HIV numbers a few weeks back, you know, that 6,147 figure. And then in March, I repeated the exercise for, we're talking the same calendar year 2014, and the tally was much different. I noticed that the statewide tally was 4,613.
How much of a difference is that?
It's a 25% difference. That's a significant difference. It's almost 1,500 cases.
So you reached out to DOH.
Yes.
What did they say when you asked them that you? Why did they make the adjustments?
Gosh, well, it's kind of complicated. There's a process, and it's known as deduplication. So that is to say, when you've got all of the folks on the ground who are kind of collecting these numbers, who are collecting the number of new cases, and it's not only new cases. I mean, they're collecting all types of figures. They're looking at mortality figures. They're looking at, you know, new AIDS cases. So they're collecting all types of data. And then they're sending that through the county health department, and that's getting sent up to the state. So that data every year needs to be cleaned up a little bit because sometimes somebody will be, you know, one case will be counted twice. So my name is Kathleen. Sometimes I go by Kat. It's possible that I might have been tested twice, and there may be two new infections, one logged under Kathleen and one logged under Kat. You know, the reality is that would be one infection. They need to clean that up. They also need to make sure that the cases hadn't been counted in other states. So what they do is they go through the data and they look for duplicates. It's as I said, deduplication. So what was explained to me was that that's why the number had been adjusted. They had gone through, they had looked for duplicates, and they felt that the new number was more accurate.
And so, and that's you know, as I read from them, that's standard protocol, right? That's
it is.
A routine thing.
It is. It's a process that they do in conjunction with the CDC. It's a process that they say is the same across all states, and it makes sense. But the thing that was interesting was just that the number had been adjusted downward by 25%. So what we did, and I was working with the data team here at the Tampa Bay Times, was we went back and we looked at all of the reports that had been issued. The state's constantly issuing these reports, but we pulled them back, you know, as far as we could, as far as, you know, was available online, and started to really compare the changes that had been made year to year, because yes, it makes sense that you would need to adjust that data, but by how much were they adjusting that data year to year? And it was common to see 6%, 8%, sometimes even 10% adjustments, but a 25% adjustment was huge and pretty unprecedented. We also brought that figure and the analysis to a couple of experts who don't work here in Florida, but are, you know, had done HIV AIDS surveillance elsewhere in the country. And they all agreed that short of there being any type of major system-wide change, a 25% revision was an awful lot.
And I think the DOH says that they use a system that is used by multiple states. So I guess it's sort of the same format those experts were probably seeing as well.
It ought to be. We don't really know what their process looked like. We've asked for public records that could kind of show us if they had received any type of guidance from CDC asking that the process be done differently this year. We've also asked for records that would show why specific cases were removed, how they made those decisions. And we haven't gotten any of that. So, you know, I don't really know the specifics of their deduplication process. But from what they've told us, it is this similar, if not the same, to what goes on in other states and nationwide.
We're talking about the number of cases of HIV in Florida. Do you have a question for Kathleen McRory? She wrote a story in the Tampa Bay Times called Criticized for HIV Spike, Florida Takes Hundreds of Cases Off the Books. Call 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Send email to golfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or tweet using the hashtag GolfCoastLive. So when they made this adjustment, by the time you published your article in January, where did that put Florida in terms of a national ranking?
And in January, when the first series of stories were being written about the Armstrong confirmation?
The HIV cases, because
Okay.
We were first.
Yeah.
And then when we switched.
Yeah, and then when the numbers changed, it did put us behind some published counts for California and Texas, so third by some published counts.
And they didn't just adjust the 2014 numbers. Your story talked about how they went all the way back to 2005. Can you talk a little bit about how that works?
That's what was really interesting. So they were actually, here in 2016 saying that some of the cases that had been counted, you know, in 2005, 2006, 2007, they removed some of those cases. Perhaps there's a rationale that maybe some cases that had been logged in 2007 were perhaps really diagnosed in 2006, so they ought to fit better in 2006. But what it looks like they did, you know, is that they actually removed about 7,000 cases going back over the past decade. And that's another question that I've put to them. You know, help me understand why that was done, and we really haven't gotten any answers.
And looking back that far, is that the most publicly available data back to 2005?
Well, yeah.
Okay. How did that change the sort of narrative of HIV in cases in the state? I mentioned in the beginning lines that it adjusted from 2011, the numbers going to 2014. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it changes two narratives. My understanding and the narrative that you'll hear if you speak to folks who are doing this work on the ground, a lot of the folks in public health, was that Florida was really experiencing a surge in new HIV infections. And that narrative and these figures are important, I should add, because the figures are what drives funding, really. You know, Florida's able to pull down funding from the federal government because it has X number of infections. So this is an important number. But now, since the numbers have been adjusted, you know, you can read this and now see that the narrative is, oh, well, there's been a small increase in the number of HIV cases, but you know, it doesn't resonate the same. It doesn't have the same sense of alarm, you know, that maybe people were feeling just a few weeks ago.
And the people that you talked with, what was the reaction to some of the people that you spoke with about, you know, you have these numbers by the state, but you also talked with some, I think an AIDS network in Northeast Florida. What was their reaction?
Folks were very surprised. And I've spoken to people all over the state, you know, some of whom didn't want their names in the paper because they get funding from the state, they get funding from the federal government, they're afraid to speak. But what folks have seen on the ground is that, yes, you know, the number of new infections are up. They are seeing so many people coming in for testing, so many people coming in for treatment that they don't have the resources to help everybody. You know, so kind of this new narrative that, yeah, new HIV cases are up slightly, doesn't really jibe with what they've been seeing on the ground.
It doesn't quite reflect the reality.
Yeah, though that's what people all over the state have said.
So the DOH declined to participate in this conversation with us, but they did release a rebuttal to your argument. And mm-hmm. one of the things that they wrote is that there was a 20% adjustment to cases in 2014, and that was consistent with previous years. So they're basically saying this adjustment is average and it does this every year. Do you agree with that?
They've not explained to me how they calculated that figure, so I really can't speak to it. You know, I can tell you what we did, and we looked at reports you know, dating back, all the reports are available, I believe, through 2007 on their website. And we calculated the percentage of the change year to year, report to report. And what we were looking at was 8%, 6%, 10%. I didn't see a 20% adjustment anywhere. And I did ask them if they could clarify that figure. And again, I haven't heard back.
So the numbers didn't quite add up from what they were saying to you.
They may have been calculating something differently. They may have been looking at it differently. I really don't know. I don't know, you know, how they arrived at that figure.
Did they explain why there was such a large reduction this year compared to other years?
They started to. You know, they had suggested that maybe more people were coming to Florida from other countries, from other states to be tested. And that those new infections ought to be counted in the person's home state and not in Florida. So that was perhaps one reason.
On that note, did anybody, when you talked to other people who weren't with the Department of Health, did they back that up in any way, that there were people coming to the state to get tested and then, you know, they were visiting and then got tested while they were here?
I don't know. I mean, I had heard that might be anecdotally true in North Florida, folks coming over from Georgia, but I hadn't heard that elsewhere. And frankly, the bulk of the testing takes place in places like St. Pete, Tampa, and South Florida.
And so the other thing that I saw was that they were talking about, you know, the number of large increase this year might have been dealing with tallying it the way they were diagnosed versus when the year they were reported.
They had said that was something that might have also led to might be responsible for a piece of the discrepancy. But they've since kind of backed off of that. So I'm not really sure how much water that holds.
Backed off how?
This gets very technical. You know, they had said that was the one thing, if you look at the reports, that really changes kind of when exactly they were counting cases. Were they counting it based on, you know, the year it was reported or the year it was diagnosed? And they shifted slightly with the way they were reporting in the published reports. But they weren't shifting in the way they reported to CDC. So that whereas we may see something a little bit different in the reports they published, that it wasn't really that big of a deal.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes,
it's a little bit challenging to explain.
We're talking with Kathleen McGrory. She's a reporter with the Tampa Bay Times, and we're talking about the number of cases of HIV in Florida. Do you have a question for Kathleen? She wrote a story called Criticized for HIV Spike. Florida takes hundreds of cases off the books. You can call 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. You can send an email to GulfCoastLive@WGCU.org. Comment at Facebook at WGCU Public Media or tweet using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And something to mention is as these numbers have been increasing in Florida and we've seen sort of this spike of late, what's been happening on the national level?
On the national level, the numbers have been consistent, if not down a little bit. So it's kind of bucking a national trend. Although we have seen the number spike in certain metro areas.
Across the country?
Yeah. Yeah.
And but so, Go ahead.
No, but I the overall numbers nationwide are down slightly.
And can you lay out the timing of all of this? We touched this on this a little bit. These numbers came out in January, and then the Surgeon General was trying to get that hearing when the new numbers were revised. So he was still trying to restart his job, but at the same time, these new numbers had come out, which would help his case. Did you ask the DOH why then they didn't try to use?
Yeah.
I mean, this would have been good leverage, right, for helping him?
I would think this is one of those things that I find to be strange, and I haven't really gotten cleared up. My understanding is that the state goes and does this duplicating in January, and then again in August. So they're doing it every 6 months. And I don't know exactly when in January the process took place. They haven't said that. But if it did take place at some point in January, I mean, the Surgeon General was still fighting for his job in February and early March. And I didn't see the state bring these new numbers to the forefront. I didn't hear the Surgeon General publicly say, hold on, before everybody gets upset about these numbers, we're in the process of revising them. They're artificially high right now. We'll have new numbers soon. Hold on. That was never raised. And that's something that might have helped him. So, I have asked the question. Well, why didn't you make this case? And I've not gotten answers to that.
I was going to say, is that just sort of a head scratcher, or can you extract anything from
that? I really don't know. It strikes me very much as a head scratcher.
Okay. So for you as a reporter, you mentioned there are still some things that you're looking at. What unresolved questions do you have with this story?
You know, I would still love to see the records that kind of show which of the cases were removed, which were reclassified, how those decisions were made, and I would really like a full answer as to, you know, why the numbers changed so dramatically this year, you know, as compared to previous years. We really haven't, the health department really hasn't fully explained what happened, and I think there's a lot of interest in the topic. You know, yesterday we saw Congresswoman Kathy Castor, you know, send a letter to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services asking them to look into the numbers in Florida, one, to make sure that the numbers are accurate, and two, to see if perhaps, the numbers were manipulated in any way. There's just great interest in these numbers. As I said, they're so important. They correlate with how much funding we're able to draw down. They help the public understand what's happening, you know, in the health sphere. And again, there's the fact that there are so many question marks right now, I think, is a problem.
And we have a caller. We have Dr. Catherine, or Catherine, I'm sorry, from Matt Lachey. Dr. Catherine, you're on the air.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
Yes. It's what she's talking about right now in terms of any of the federal funding agencies. Are they looking into these numbers and this discrepancy? Because it sounds fraudulent to me. And, you know, as a physician, we get investigated if there's any fraudulent activities. And it just seems as the legislature and the federal government should be involved with this investigation.
Dr. Catherine, thank you for your question. Kathleen, I think you touched on this just a moment ago, but are they looking at this?
I put the question to the Department of Health and Human Services yesterday, and I didn't hear back. The Congresswoman's call for an investigation was loud and clear.
Okay. I believe that is all the time we have for this segment. Thank you so much for being with us, Kathleen.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Kathleen McGrory is a reporter for the Tampa Bay Times. She wrote an article called Criticized for HIV Spike, Florida Takes Hundreds of Cases Off the Books. It illustrates how the adjustment changes the narrative of HIV cases in Florida. Information is online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. You can go there to read Kathleen's article. We're taking a quick break, but coming up in a minute, we take a look back at the emergence of the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s. and the struggle faced by the LGBT community at the height of the crisis. Some public health officials worry young people today have no memory of that time, which could impact lax attitudes among millennials when it comes to HIV prevention. Visuality Inc. and the Florida Gulf Coast University will hold a panel discussion next week to explore LGBT life in the AIDS era and remembering the legacy of those who did not survive. Stay with us. This is WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida. I'm Topher Forges.